I'll turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. And look at verses 13 and 14. Matthew, chapter number 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Have you ever seen the coexist bumper stickers that they have? Each letter of coexist is illustrated by a different symbol of religion. So the C is the half moon of Islam. The O is a peace sign. The E is a male-female symbol. The X is the Star of David. The I is dotted with the symbol of witchcraft and paganism. The S is the yin-yang of Taoism. And then the T is the cross. And the idea is that all religions need to coexist because we're all in this life together and we can all learn from one another, and there's not one better than the other, and we can put our differences aside and focus on the good and the good for humanity. That you go to God your way, I'll go to my God my way, and we'll just coexist. Well, I can understand not wanting wars, and I can understand not wanting fighting and so forth, and peace and harmony, but understand this, the reason why you cannot coexist in the religious system is because religion will send you to hell. That there are not multiple ways to God. We're not talking about preferences here, and we're not talking about our favorite movies or Chicago-style pizza versus New York-style and that sort of thing, where there could be multiple opinions and preferences. We're talking about eternity here. We're talking about ultimate truth and error. And there is no room for error when you're talking about eternity here. So I can understand people wanting to have peace in this world, but there is no peace if everyone's going their own way as far and trying to get to God in that way. So Jesus doesn't peddle this Unitarian nonsense. Jesus tells us very plainly and very simply that the paths are not many. There are not many paths to God. There are not many different religions. Jesus just says there's two. There's a broad way and there's a straight way. The straight and narrow way will lead you to life, and the broad way leads you to death. And that's it. Those are your only two options. So the bumper sticker says there's all kinds of different options. You can go to Islam or paganism or Judaism or all kinds of different ways. But Jesus said there's only two ways. There's the broad way that leads to destruction and the straight and narrow that leads to life. The straight and narrow is one of those biblical phrases that people will use often and not really understand what it means or where it even came from, actually. You hear somebody talking about they're walking the straight and narrow. It's usually that some kind of moral thing that they've done. They've quit drinking or they've quit running around. And people say, well, they're walking the straight and narrow. Well, this is not necessarily just, or Jesus is not talking about turning your life around and living a moral life here. He's talking about two different ways to live, two different faiths, two paths. There's only two roads. There's only two paths. And right now, you, tonight, are on one of those paths. Everybody's on one or the other. Everybody on this earth is on one of these paths, one or the other. You're either on the road that ends in life, or you're on the road that ends in destruction. And Jesus is beginning to start this final section in the Sermon on the Mount here. And this is the final section of this sermon. And he starts it with a very sobering thought that everybody in the sound of his voice as he preaches it, everybody in the sound of my voice right now, you're on one of these two roads. You're on the straight and narrow, or you're on the broad way. And that's a sobering thought. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. First, we'll think about the straight and narrow. Jesus says we to enter in at the straight gate. And if you look at it there, it's the straight gate and not the straight gate. It's not the straight gate. That means passing from one point to another in the nearest course, a straight line. So that's what that means. Well, that's not what Jesus is talking about, like in a straight line. But it's the, if you look at it there, it's straight. And that doesn't mean like a straight line. That means narrow or close. It's strict or rigorous. So it doesn't have anything to do with a straightness, like you'd have a plumb line or something, but it's talking about narrow or close. It's restricted. And then it says it's a straight gate and a narrow way. And narrow kind of means the same thing as straight does. Broadest in his commentary says it means pressed or pressed together. A Greek writer would use this as one occupying a straighted cell. So it implies not merely that the road is narrow, as it were, but cramped and confined, so there's difficulty in passing along it. The word is the precise opposite of the broad way or the spacious way applied to the other road. In the one, men can wander heedlessly and roam about at pleasure in the broad spaces. The other requires to be pursued with great care and exactness. So this straight gate, narrow way, isn't, like I said, a straight line, but it's narrow, it's strict, it's close, and there's no room there's no broadness there to go whichever way you want. It is a compact, a rigorous path. So if you get off the main road in West Virginia, the chances are for your car anyway, it's going to be a straight, narrow path. That there's not a lot of room for moving around, that there's enough room for the car, and that's about it. So that's what you want to think about, a straight and narrow path. The straight way and the narrow way Jesus is talking about is the way to heaven. The straight and narrow isn't, like I said, living a moral life and giving up certain vices. The Lord wasn't talking about turning your life around here, but what he's talking about is the straight and narrow way is the path to heaven. It is what you're going to put your faith and trust in. In fact, Jesus himself is the straight and narrow way. Whenever you think about this then, so it's a straight, it's a close, narrow way. This gate, this way, is there's an exclusivity to this. So when you think about that, you think that you don't have a lot of options, that there's not a lot of paths to go, that you have to stay on this path and you can't move to the left or the right. On the farm, we would pick apples and we'd take the apples out of the picking bag and we'd put them in these bushel wooden crates. And then we'd set them down by the tree and the tractor crew would come and pick up those crates and take them back in the packing house and take empty crates back out and just sort of rotate them like that. But they had thousands and thousands of these wooden crates. And when they get done with them, they'd stack them up and put them on pallets and put them inside the barn. And then whenever it was done picking, you would have hundreds and hundreds of feet of these crates. They'd be 20, 30 feet tall, maybe 100 feet wide inside the storage barn that they had there. And there was just thousands of these things stacked up. Well, I used to love to go back there, and I'd go back in there and it'd be dark, and you get in between those pallets, and there'd be just enough room for a boy to get in between there and go through those paths. And you would get there, and it'd get tight, and you'd have to lower down and turn sideways, just barely enough room to go back in through there. That was a straight, narrow way. You didn't have enough room to turn around once you got back in there tight. It was tight, it was restrictive. And once you got back there, there was only one way out, and that was the way that you came. And if you want to get back out, you're going to have to go down that path that you follow. Well, this is the idea that Jesus gives, that there's one way, and it's very strict, it's very narrow. So when Jesus talks about this gate, he's referring to himself. If you want eternal life, if you want the pardon of sin, if you want the forgiveness of all your iniquity, there's only one place that can be found. And it's through this one and only gate. So you think of all the roads in all the world, and this Broadway, they'll take you anywhere you want to go. Along that broad, you know, there's only one gate there, very small and narrow gate that you can find eternal life. You're not going to find it off any exit off the Broadway, but it is this one straight and narrow path. This shows us the exclusivity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you will have Christ in life or you will not have life. That's the only options. You will have Christ and Him alone, or you will have destruction. Jesus in the parables in John 10, where He spoke of Himself as being the only way, the only gate, the door of the sheep. He makes that same point that there is only one way, and that is through Him. There is only one way through the Father, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we see Christ and picture Him in this story, this parable, as that gate, there's only one way through, and it's through Christ. There's only one way to God, and that's through Christ. And you will go in through that gate, you will go in through Christ, or you won't go in at all. There's no other path, there's no other road, there's no other option. Only one possible way of salvation, that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work there on Calvary. There simply is no other way. You have no other options. But what a glorious option that is. What a wonderful salvation that is. That, you know, we've been studying Sunday nights and in Galatians, and we know that there is no other good news. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. So this is not that because Christ is the only way, that should make us downtrodden. Because Christ gives us this good news and says, come unto me, believe in me, and be saved. That Jesus saves. And that all that come to Christ shall have their sins forgiven. So just because there's an exclusivity to this gate in this way, doesn't mean that this is bad news, it's good news. For all that will come to Him in repentance and faith will find the door open. The path is clear. The door is open. The gate is open to come to Christ. Jesus says, though He doesn't say just enter in at the gate and then take off back down the broad road. This is something else that this teaches us, and you'll find that this is the theme of the rest of this chapter, that Jesus tells us that we enter in at the gate, but then we follow the path. So many people have come to the gate and made a profession that the gate is good. And they've come to the gate and said, I like the gate, and I like what the gate can provide for me, and the gate makes sense to me. And they've professed that they have entered into the gate, but they never entered the gate. And they keep on walking down the broad way saying that I've entered the gate. But they're not walking the straight and narrow. They're not walking the path. They're not following Christ. They never did enter the gate. They just came and looked at it. And they came and professed it. And they came and admired it. Salvation is more than just professing that you know Christ. Don't come and look and admire at the gate, but confess. And don't come and confess that the gate is the way. But enter the gate, Jesus says. Enter ye in at the straight gate. And the cross is not a rest stop on the road of life, but it is the way of following Christ to eternal life. Enter in at the gate in Christ and then follow the path of obedient faith. That is the path of the child of God, that we follow Christ. I fear for so many who make professions of faith and then they fall off and they go back to the way that they have lived before. Because as we will see in the rest of this chapter, there's little hope for someone who merely makes a profession, because there's a lot of people that make professions. Jesus says the true follower, the true believer, the one who has entered in at the gate will walk the narrow path. That we will persevere even as we are preserved in Christ. The straight and narrow also gives us the idea of repentance. See, in order to enter in at the gate, you have to leave the broad way. If you're going to enter in that gate, You're going to have to change directions. You're going to have to go someplace that you haven't been before. And that's, you're going to have to change directions. And that's repentance. You're going to have to turn. To enter in at the straight gate is to leave the way you've been going. To have a change of mind. To know that the road that you've been on is the wrong road. And then you're going to have to just keep on going. There's been many times that we've been looking for some place and we've drove, and you know, you get that feeling in your stomach that if you're going someplace you've never been before, and you start thinking, well, I should have been there by now. And then you drive a few more miles and say, no, I've missed it. And you start debating in your mind, well, am I going to turn around and go back and see if I've missed it, or am I going to press on? And you might keep on driving a long time before you decide you have to turn around and go back. Well, if you keep going on the wrong road, you're not going to make it to the right destination. You're going to be on the wrong road for a long time. I went somewhere one time and I had to come back. I was in North Carolina and I was coming home. I had about a 5-hour drive home, and I wasn't really thinking when I got on the interstate, and I drove for over an hour. And until I saw a sign that says I was getting close to Charlotte, I think. I thought, well, what's Charlotte doing on the way to Kentucky? and I pulled over and I was going the wrong way, drove all that way, and I had to turn around and come back. And I'd been on the road for 2.5 hours and was back to where I started. And that was a terrible thing. But you know, if I had kept on driving south, I would have never made it to Kentucky. I never made it home. Even if I knew I was wrong, I had to stop. I had to turn around. Well, the straight and narrow show gives us that idea. If we're on the broad way, we're going to have to stop. We're going to have to turn. We're going to have to recognize that we're on the road that leads to death and destruction. And repent of that and say, I'm on the wrong path. I am living a life of sin. And say the only hope to get to the desired haven is to turn and enter in at the straight gate. You have to repent of your way. And your life, and know that Christ is the only way to that narrow path. You have to leave behind your works righteousness. You have to leave behind your idols and your sin, and because you have to put your faith in Christ, in Him alone. You have to turn and put your faith in Jesus. So that narrow way, that narrow gate, that gives us the idea of repentance. The straight gate and the narrow way is a low way. You got to be poor in spirit. It's been said that that gate has an arch on it. And the only way you can enter through that gate, as one man imagined, is you're going to have to bow down. You can't walk you can't walk with your shoulders back through that gate. Not only is it narrow, but it's low. That it's a humble way. You got to humble yourself when you come to Christ. And humble yourself before Him and confess your sins and confess your unrighteousness. And He will save you. So the narrow way is a low way. The narrow way also can be a lonely way. You think about a narrow path, a narrow trail, that there's not a lot of room for people to walk side by side. If you've ever walked along some of the trails, you have to walk single file in some places because you just can't walk two or three wide. You know, make for a lonely walk if you got to do that for a long time. Well, the narrow way sometimes is a lonely way. Because there are few that be that find it. Now that's not pessimistic, that's just a fact. And you can't say, well, Jesus is pessimistic because He said the few there be that find it. That's just a fact. It's just a fact, it's a reality that there's few people, relatively speaking, in the size and the scope of this planet, that will come to Christ. While God is gracious and saves households, sometimes you're called to walk away and from family and friends. Sometimes you have to go. Sometimes people are saved and their family's not. And you have to follow Jesus. And it can be a lonely road for many people. You have to walk away maybe from friends. Or when all the co-workers are walking according to the course of this wicked world. And you're the only one following Christ at your job. It can be a lonely way to walk that narrow path in following Christ. It can be a narrow way whenever your friends are not following Christ, and And you just say, oh, I can't go with you. I can't do that. I can't follow you there because I'd be going against my Lord. So it can be a lonely path because there's few that be that find it. The straight and narrow is also a difficult way. It's not straight as an arrow and easy, but it's cramped and it's, it gives you the idea of difficulty. The life of Christ calls us to a life of self-denial. We've already seen just in this one sermon, Jesus is talking about the persecuted. He's talked about being salt and light in this world. And talking about the casting your pearls before the swine, you shouldn't do that because they'll turn again and rend you. Several times Jesus has talked about our enemies, blessing them that curse us and doing good to them that hate us and so forth, and pray for them. And so Jesus has talked about persecution and hard things. That's the way of the narrow path. There's trials, there's temptations, there's struggles to walk on that narrow path. As the songwriter says, many dangers, toils, and snares. We are called to follow our Savior where He has led us. And the fact is that there are many difficulties that we will face in the Christian life. Many trials, many temptations of the devil. But Jesus has called us to that. So not only do we abandon our self-righteousness, not only do we humble ourselves and come to Christ, but we are to follow Him through that narrow path, that sometimes difficult path. But it is a joyous path. The narrow way is a joyous path. Even the difficulties that we have to face in the life of Christ are blessings from God. The trials that we face, God works in us for our good. And He lifts us up even to bear those trials. Whenever we face weaknesses, we feel Christ's strength in us. When we see the persecutions in the light of heavenly rewards, we know that our mourning and our weeping is just for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We endure our mourning and our sorrow in this life because we know that we'll be comforted. Our poverty of spirit on the narrow path will be met with the kingdom of God when we reach our desired end. The flesh may see the straight and narrow and not be a joyous route. If I was a salesman, what I said thus far might not be a very good pitch for Christianity, would it? That the straight is narrow, it is difficult, it is lonely, it is wrought with trials and troubles and temptations. For the flesh, it is not, but those who have been born again and walk in the Spirit, this is walking in the Spirit of God. And we will find those trials and struggles are met with grace and God's loving kindness. So it is a joyous path. It is a joyous path to those who are in Christ to walk with Him and to walk with His blessings and His graciousness and His tender mercies. So as Jesus says, enter in, I bid you tonight to enter in. Many admire the straight and narrow, but there are some poor souls who stand and loiter outside that gate and never enter themselves. They learn of its history, know of its benefits, and mimic its morality, but how sad to never take up the cross and to follow the Lord Jesus through the narrow gate. How sad it is to stand on the broad way and stare at the straight gate. Jesus says to enter. The gate is open. And when God opens the eyes of the blind and they're able to see their lost condition and see the destination of the broad way, the Almighty God of heaven, the judge and ruler of all, they will show mercy. And when they see that they will face the wrath of God at the end of that road and then see our blessed Lord Jesus suffering and bleeding and dying for sinners, the forgiveness of sins, to be washed clean in the filth of our hearts and to hear that cry, all ye that labor and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. The soul who has been burdened under sin and burdened under the works of the law and burdened under striving to earn God's favor will find rest for their soul, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. The soul who has come to see his own sin and then sees Christ, knowing that he did not remain on the cross but was buried and then rose again for our justification, the soul that sees him will come to him in faith and enter in that straight gate. Christ says to enter in. And since it is a way of repentance, that is the message of our Lord. Repent and be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. And he will no wise cast out any who will come to him. Because the alternative is the broad and wide road. That's the alternative. That's the straight and narrow. And the broad way is pretty much the opposite. So as you find the straight way narrow and exclusive and difficult and full of trials and one of repentance and humility, the broad way is everything that way is not. It's the interstate. So if you have the straight and narrow is these tiny off-roads, the broad way is the interstate. And it's wide, and there's lots of people on it, and there's exits, and there's places you can stop and go anywhere that you want to on this broad, wide, well-known, accepted path. And you don't choose the broad way. If you're going to go on a destination, you get out your map, or you get on the computer now, or just talking to your phone, but you're going to have options for your destination. I want to go here and I'm going to get on this road and that's where I'm going to go. Well, you don't choose the Broadway. You're born at the Forbidden Fruit Memorial Hospital. You know, you're born right on the Broadway. You come out of the hospital and you've been on the Broadway before you even go home. You're born on this road. You learn to crawl on this road. You walk on this road. And that's all that you ever know is this Broadway, this broad path. That's all we ever know. We don't become sinners and choose to become sinners. We sin because we are sinners. That's just who we are. We are born on this broad way in this spiritual lifelessness. Our standards, our perspectives, our way of thinking, it's all formed and fashioned on this broad way. And it's hard whenever you don't think about, you know, it's impossible to see whenever you're born in a certain context and then you have no spiritual life and then to say that this broad way is wrong. You know, it's impossible because we are rooted and grounded in that broad way. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And this is just the way that life is, unless God shows us the truth, unless our eyes are open to what that Broadway truly is. Because the Broadway is popular and it's filled up. So everybody is on the Broadway. To tell people that they have transgressed the law and they're sinners is to say, well, you're telling me that I'm a sinner and yet I pay my taxes and I go to work and I donate to charity, and I've never committed any crimes, I've never gone to jail, and all these things. And you say, you're going to tell me I'm going to hell? Look at the moral life I'm living. And look at everybody around me, and you're going to tell me I'm going to hell? Well, that's the problem right there, that you're on the broad way, and you turn around and say, well, everybody else is here. I'm better than a lot of these people that's around me. But if you're on that road, and you're walking with everybody, you know, that's a poor judge to know whether you're going the wrong way or not. Is to say, well, everybody else is going this way. Well, if everybody else is going the wrong way, then that doesn't help you any to judge yourself by everybody else. We grow up on the Broadway, and most everybody else we know is on the Broadway. Our friends and family members, our neighbors, they're all on the Broadway. You turn on TV shows, they are depicting the life of the Broadway. The movies depict the life of the Broadway. All of our society's heroes emulate that Broadway. And you're going to have to say that all these people are wrong, and everything that you like and everything that you enjoy from television, the movies, and the radio, all these things are depicting the life of the broad way. And to say to somebody, you are going the wrong way, they just look around and say, look at this. You're just a small minority in this world, and you're going to tell me I'm going the wrong way? That's the danger. That's the sadness of this, because we are born sinners. And we're all born into this depravity, this depraved nature. All that you can desire is on this broad way. It's not narrow and restrictive and intolerant, but it's as broad as your imagination. Every car going down this Broadway can have one of those coexist bumper stickers on that Broadway. It doesn't matter what you believe on the Broadway. It doesn't matter if you don't believe at all. You can be religious. You can be an atheist. If your heart desires fornication, it's on the Broadway. If you want religion and spirituality, it's on the Broadway. If your heart desires selfishness, well, there's a path that you can take. There's an exit there on the Broadway where you can have everything that your selfish heart desires. If you're prideful, well, then that's accepted on the Broadway. You can find some place, you can find a lane of that on the Broadway. Whatever you want, there's a place for you on that Broadway. Whatever your heart desires. Religion is everywhere on this Broadway. See, man is made to worship God. And since we won't worship the true and living God like God created us to do, we'll worship the creation more than the Creator. So we'll just find something else to worship. So on the Broadway, there's all kinds of things you can worship. Any type of worship your heart desires. If you want to worship a man, well, there's all sorts of men to worship. You can have any number of gods, whether on the football field or the racetrack or the White House or the Academy or on the stage, or if none of those suit your fancy, you can look in the mirror and worship the God you see in the mirror. You have any other number of people to worship and to admire and to follow after and bow down and follow as Lord of your life. All kinds of things on the Broadway. There's will worship and the religion. You know, you can worship after the philosophies of men. If you want to have multiple gods, well, you can do that on the Broadway as well. You can fill your heart with mockery and scorn. A lot of people do that with the comedians and so forth that they love to mock and degrade and to scorn and scorn the things and scorn things of truth. Well, you've got that on the Broadway. You want to fight for a noble cause? You can find satisfaction there. You want to be an outcast and rebel against the norms of society? Well, you can do that on the Broadway as well. Whatever you want, it's there. There's causes to fight for, whether political causes, environmental causes. You want to be pro-war. You can be pro-peace. You can fight against cancer. You can save the children and save the whales and save the oceans and save the environment and save the ozone layer. And you can save all sorts of things and have all sorts of causes to fight for and to give life meaning. Then you have enemies to conquer. You have us versus them in everything, whether politics or music or whatever it is. There's always a us versus them where you can say, well, those guys are the bad guys and I'm going to hate them and I'm going to fight against them and my side are the good guys. But if you just stop and think about it, if these things are not the things of Christ, these are just groups and factions, both on the broad way, leading to destruction. But people will find meaning in their life by following after these things and say, well, I'm fighting the good fight. You'll hear that when people fight these, give their life to these causes. And there's nothing wrong with working for a cause. I'm not saying that. There's nothing wrong with fighting poverty and that kind of thing. But I'm saying that if you're trying to find satisfaction of your soul and this is your life, To do these things, the Broadway will give you something to do to keep you busy and to try to satisfy your soul with either meaningful work or no work at all, whether amusement to keep you from thinking or entertainment for keeping you from thinking of anything worthwhile. would have you think on something that's not worth anything. But all this does is you're like a kid on a swing at a playground. You work real hard and you go real fast, but you're not really going anywhere. And that's what life in the Broadway is. Giving yourself to things that ultimately don't matter. To try to find salvation and the satisfaction in your soul. But you know, it's an empty and sad life, ultimately, of the broad way. Because you could live a long, satisfied life and do good and be good and have much of what you want and enjoy yourself. But when you get to the end of the road, that's the sad part. You get to the end of the road, and there is an end to this road. I said everybody's on the road tonight. Well, there's an end to both of those roads. You know, if you imagine maybe a giant conveyor belt, and everybody's living on this conveyor belt, and they're building, and some are fighting, and some are working for peace, and some are feeding the poor, some are living for pleasure, but they're all on this big conveyor belt. And they fight against each other, and they fight with each other, and they live for pleasure, but they're just moving on this conveyor belt. And they don't realize they're on that conveyor belt. And it gets to the end, and you fall off. You fall off that conveyor belt into destruction. Well, that's what that Broadway is doing. Now, you've got so many years on this earth. You've got so many years on this Broadway, and you're headed towards the end of that road. And you have all kinds of things to keep you busy and to occupy you and try to give you meaning and satisfaction. But the fact is, you're on that road. And when you get to the end, there are no exits, there's no detours, there's no turnabouts, but you're at the final destination. And that's what Jesus gets to at the end when he talks about the end of the road. And when I said at the beginning of the sermon, people say there's many ways to God, that's just an illusion. There are not many religions, there's really just two. There's not many teachings, there's just two. You got the straight and the narrow, and you got the broad and the wide. One is works-based, the other is grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's it. You can call it different names, you can have different beliefs. People can be zealous and sincere, but there's two ways. There's the way of life in Christ, and then the way of death and everything else. When the coexist people say that, I'm intolerant, but all roads lead to God, they're almost right. All roads except for one do lead to the same place. They're almost right. And I guess you could say all roads lead to God if you're talking about God on the great white throne judgment. That they lead to Him eventually because He's the judge of the quick and the dead. But all roads do lead to the same place. Whether it be the Jew or the Muslim or the atheist or the Mormon or the Jehovah's Witness, they all lead to the same place. They all lead to hell, to fire and torment. Without Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter whichever way you go, it's ultimately the same big wide road. It's wide, there's lots of people on it, it's popular, you can do all sorts of things on there. But the end of that road is death. The Broadway leads to death. That's all, it's the end of the Broadway. And you can't take anything with you. You won't want your family to go with you. Prestige will do you no good. You can't take your money with you. Your house isn't going with you. That Broadway leads to destruction. But the straight gate and the narrow path leads to God. It leads to life. So, if you've ever been on Google Maps, you can get down the street view. And you get on there and you can zoom down in and you can see exactly where you're at. And you click the mouse and you can start zooming out. So imagine you're there right now here at the church building and you start zooming out. And you start to zoom out a little bit and you see the road out here and you can zoom out a little bit further. And now you can see Clay and you zoom out a little bit further and you can see the interstate. Imagine yourself on that road. You're on that narrow road or that broad road. And you start zooming out and zooming out, and you can see both roads still. You can see that narrow road, and you see that broad road. And you can zoom out just a little bit. You can see the difference, but not much difference. You zoom out a little bit further, and you can see lots of people on that broad road. And you can see that narrow road looks difficult. But if you keep on zooming and zooming until you get to the end of the road, and you can see both. You see the broad way that ends in destruction, and you see there a great divide which no man can cross. And you see there at the end of the broad road, fire and brimstone, and you smell the fumes of the sulfur, and you see the smoke. That is the end of that road. But you look at the other road, and you see the beauty of holiness, and you see rest, and you see the peace of God, and you see the reward, and you see the grace that God gives us. You're standing here tonight, and God has given you in this parable, this story, this illustration, a view that there's two roads. And you can consider yourself tonight, and you can say, what road am I on? And this road has a destination, and Jesus tells us what the destinations are. One ends in life, the other in death. Now, I stand at the gate tonight. I've entered the gate, and I stand there and say, if you're not on the straight and narrow, to come. If you're not following Christ, I stand there at the gate and bid you to come. Come and to the Savior. If you're outside the straight and the narrow, come to Jesus. And if you're on the straight path, if you're on the through the straight gate and the narrow path, well, press on. You're not missing anything. Those temptations that try to draw you back, you're not missing anything. There's nothing there for you because you know where the end of that road is. And I know sometimes it's hard and you think, well, I'm missing so much and I've given up so much. There's nothing back there for you. There's nothing back in Egypt for us. And press on to the promised land. Press on to Canaan's land. Because there's nothing behind there for us. We've left it. We know what the end of that road is. It's destruction. But press on to your rest. Press on to your Savior. And press on that narrow path that leads to life and your eternal rest and your reward. God help us to press on and to follow our Savior. And we'll stand and be dismissed in prayer this evening. And Brother Harold, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?